On this episode of Cox Talking Game, Cox women's basketball continues to roll. Men's basketball has a heartbreaker and lots of weekend updates from other sports. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 127 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, or I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there, Gamecock family. I know I did, was very active and just enjoying everything there was this weekend. Even played some shuffleboard, pretty wild stuff. Just felt like an old Floridian retiree. Never know what you're going to get into nowadays, but there was also lots of sports, lots of action from around Gamecock country, starting with Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Everywhere you looked, there was just something going on, which is the way I like it. So we'll start this episode off with a weekend review and then jump into both basketball programs' results, highlights, and previewing of their next matchups here. So starting with Friday, you had the track and field team in action at the Dr. Sander Columbia Challenge. That is not Columbia, South Carolina. That is Columbia University in New York. There was an event. You had the men's team finishing third and the women finishing second. So a really successful weekend for both parts of the track and field team. Track and field team has been a big topic of conversation. If you do follow football recruiting, you know what I'm talking about with Nicholas Harbor, but really good to see them doing well and competing strong outside of that. Also on Friday, women's tennis beat Northwestern 4-2. Hell yeah. And then on Saturday, you had men's tennis in action. They defeated Princeton 4-0. Awesome job, guys. The men's tennis seems to have a very strong start to the year this year. You remember last year they actually finished the year really well, so it will be cool to see how they do this season. And then also on Saturday, the women's tennis was back in action, unfortunately taking the loss to Virginia 1-4. That's all right, ladies. You'll get them next time. And then also, you had some news at the start of this weekend coming from the football program as recruiting continues to stay hot. South Carolina secured a commitment from 2024 four-star linebacker Wendell Gregory. Huge pickup. He was a target for a while, along with these other guys who I've reported about. So you had a couple of targets, and Shane Beamer got each and every one of them. Now, Wendell is currently listed at 6'2", 217 pounds. Jeez Louise. And his commitment, like I just really said, it caps off just a phenomenal two-week or so stretch for Shane Beamer and staff as they are quickly building a very impressive class for 2024. Just the show goes on. The Shane train is just barreling, going through Express. And I think Beamer even tweeted out a welcome home at some point over the weekend as well. So we'll find out who that is. But want to talk a second about this Wendell Gregory commitment and really the job that this staff has done addressing the need of linebacker. That is an area that has plagued the Gamecocks football program for years. It just feels like year in and year out, we're just not able to have consistent linebacker play. You can blame that a little bit on injuries here and there, but for whatever reason, that play has just not quite been up to par. But Shane Beamer is making a point to address that head on. So with Wendell Gregory, this time next year, we'll be talking about fielding a team that will have Wendell Gregory, Stone Blanton, Pup Howard, Debo Williams, Mo Cabba can still be there given some circumstances, and then also Shane got a transfer in Jaron Willis this year as well. So all of a sudden you're starting to see this linebacker core and this whole group coming into form with playmakers, right? And then even going into this year where you'll have Stone, Pup Howard, Debo, Cabba, hopefully he can come back and start the year very healthy, Willis as well. That room is starting to look nice. And as much work as this team and staff, rather, are putting in the trenches, if you want to win in the SEC, I mean, yeah, you got to be good everywhere. But you talk about running the ball and stopping the run. Well, your front seven, the guys in the box, they have to be good. And if you can have a strong defensive line, which is clearly being addressed, you need to have some guys behind them doing it as well. So I look at this eventual tandem of Pup Howard and Stone Blanton as leading the charge. And then you have a guy like Gregory coming in behind them. It could be a very, very exciting room, really. So kudos to this staff. It's great to see that area being addressed head on in recruiting. And it's just one of those deals where I feel like Beamer has made it a point to find one or two guys at linebacker that he really likes and then go all in on them. And that's your linebacker for that group. You saw that with Stone, you saw that with Pup, and now I think you're seeing with Wendell Gregory. And then you bring in a transfer here and there like Willis, and it rounds out very well. So very exciting weekend all around from Gamecock Nation, which brings me to the games that were being played with the basketball programs. Going in chronological order here, so starting with the men's team, unfortunately, Saturday night, South Carolina fell to Georgia in a heartbreaker, 81-78 in overtime. Ugh, it's just not an easy go at it, y'all. It is just not an easy run at it with this team here. The Gamecocks were finally able to hold a lead. Hallelujah, right? That was my crow to the game. Just get a lead and hold it. All right. At the time, I was like, who cares what happens? Just hang in there. Be part of something exciting. And that they were, but they were able to do that, and just it slipped through their fingers. But they were able to have the lead going into the half. And then at one point, Carolina is up by double figures in the second half, and just all this type of stuff that we were dying to see, right? Just scoring from other people, contributions from the bench, passing the ball, Gigi doing his thing. It was all starting to come together, and then just Georgia climbed back, and this defensive pressure that UGA was able to put on, it just forced mistakes, right? You know, turnovers, things of that nature, and that was really the undoing for the Gamecocks, and it was really tough. Just, it's a tough pill to swallow. And, you know, this loss hurts for a few reasons. First, you know, as we've seen and as we know from this team, there's just simply not a lot of opportunities to grab victories, right? There's going to be few and far between for this team. And so when you're in a position to win and you're up and it's this close game and you're right there, it just sucks to have it slip away from you, especially in the fashion where it's just right at the end. Also, Georgia was a team that South Carolina has owned, like, putting it bluntly, like, we have owned Georgia for a few years now. And that winning streak, I believe it was at like 12 games. So that's like several years, right? Like, coming to a close, and it just stinks, right? So you're really seeing this team's struggle and transition really rearing its head, where you have a team where you've owned for the past several seasons. And granted, yes, everything changes year over year. It's, you know, like what you did 3 years ago against Georgia has no bearing on what the team this year is doing, right? But it's just a sign of the times, really, where these were games you were used to winning, and right now we're not. And it's not indicative of things to come in next season, right? Or the season after that. But it's just really a sign of the times that, hey, we know we're in a rebuild. We know we're having a rough season, but this just really, really drives it home. So it sucks, right? I mean, it just sucks. And, you know, it's nice to be in that position to be able to win. And it's nice as a fan, right, to be engaged and to be excited in the end of a game, to be in that situation where you're on the edge of your seat. It's not a blowout where you can kind of just lean back and the last 5, 7, 8 minutes of the game, it's the writing's on the wall, what's going to happen, which is what it's been. But it just still sucks. It's just a rough loss. Some player highlights here for y'all. Gigi had 18 points and 9 rebounds. Hayden Brown with 17 points and 10 rebounds. Michi had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Nice game there. Chico Carter Jr. had 12 points, and Jacoby Wright had 13 points. So this was it, right? This is what I have been saying all year, where you need your big three, and then you need the contributions from the other guys. And Chico and Jacoby are the guys I have been singling out. They did that. And, you know, you just came up just shy, right? There were some silly mistakes. The different looks and presses that Georgia was giving South Carolina gave them trouble. And it just stinks, because this is what we've been asking for. We've been asking for a good game from guys off the bench, like a Jacoby Wright, and team still comes up short. So just a tough one. The next game for South Carolina is Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. at home against Mississippi State. State is 13-8 overall, 1-7 in the SEC, however. So at first glance, it's nice, because you're looking at Carolina taking on an opponent also struggling in the SEC. But it's also one of those deals where Mississippi State has pretty much played all of the elite teams in the SEC, some of them already twice. So outside of that, State has been rolling, right? Their overall record shows that, winning 13 games already. So yes, they are struggling in the SEC, but you could make the case that it's more of a byproduct of playing just that upper echelon of the SEC. So don't take it at face value if you're the Gamecocks, right? Take this very seriously. Not that South Carolina is in a position to take anyone lightly. Not like we're world beaters. So just take them seriously, which brings me to my crow to the game. For any new listeners, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone does keys to the game. We have our rooster crow, so I have my crow to the game. And for this game, it's a little bit of a different one. It's just learn from this past game. Learn from the Georgia game. Take lessons from it. And I'd like the players to take that in the sense of remembering that feeling of distributing the ball, building a lead in the SEC, right? Like, you know how to do that now. You know what it's like to see some of the adjustments that the other team will make. For guys like Chico Carter and Jacoby Wright, like, hey, you were seeing the ball go into the hoop. You got into a nice little groove. Can you replicate that feeling? But really, Lamont Paris needs to take any learnings he can from that game and make sure that those mistakes that happened late in the game with the turnovers and things like that don't happen again, especially going into this game where, yes, Mississippi State has been struggling against SEC teams. So this could be another close game. Again, it's going to take a few things to go right for Carolina, but it's possible, right? It's at home. Mississippi State has been struggling lately. Yes, they just had a nice win over the weekend, an upset win, but it could be close. So are you able to get your team to learn from the adjustments that they faced against a team like Georgia? That's going to be the crow to the game, really. And it's going to be interesting to watch. So let's go, Cox. Which brings me to the women's basketball game. And then I will get y'all out of here. Sunday afternoon, the Gamecocks beat Alabama 65-52. This was a good game. This was a fun game to watch. By no means was it a walk in the park for Carolina, especially in that first half. So this was a nice showing from the team to get some big-time contributions, from the bench as well. Alabama opened the game strong, and Carolina had a couple of turnovers, you know, in that first half, a couple of bad decisions that kept things close. But to me, it seemed like as the game went on, Alabama was just worn down. You know, they had one hot player who was just hitting everything for them. And then once she cooled off, you could tell that the team was just not with it, right? I mean, their best players got into foul trouble, and they just did not have the depth to compete with South Carolina. And that's a strength of South Carolina, right? That's a championship caliber team, having that depth to go the distance. And not that South Carolina was in foul trouble, but you look at a team like Alabama, once they weren't able to keep up. If you're the Gamecocks, that's a strength, right? You never want to be in foul trouble, but should Aaliyah Boston find herself with a few, you can put Cardozo in. Saxton is very experienced as well. With the guards, you have Raven Johnson, Bree Hall, etc., who can come in and step up. And that's really what you got this game. The story of the game really is the bench. Commentators were talking about it, and when you look at the box score, that's who thrived. Bree Hall had 18 points, and Raven Johnson had a very nice game with 7 points, 2 assists, and 2 steals. I really like her game. You know, she came as a very highly touted recruit, got hurt last year. So this year, it's really about her development. And she, from what I've seen, has a very high ceiling and can develop into a staple of this program and someone who I could see the Gamecocks relying on in a year or so, but exciting to see her. She had a couple of really nice moves. Let's just like reverse layups, Euro stepping it, just nice with it. So, some other player highlights from them was Aaliyah Boston just doing Aaliyah Boston things, 16 points and 12 rebounds from the double-double machine. Next game for the ladies is Thursday night, 7 p.m. at home against Kentucky. Kentucky is 9-11 overall, 1-7 in the SEC, which already includes a loss to South Carolina, the two having played earlier in January. And my crow to the game here is just continue keeping the rotations fresh. Continue to get the bench involved. I don't think you're going to need a heroic effort from all of the starters. You know, maybe Aaliyah has a nice game or Zaya has a nice game, but let's continue to see a lot of playing time from a Raven Johnson, a Bree Hall, Watkins, Kitts. Let's see that rotation going because we're starting to, you know, turn the page. We're in February in a few days, so you're kind of gearing up for March in the SEC tournament, so let's get as much playing time as we can against SEC opponents here. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.